your Bibles. By the way, everybody that's watching us live, thank you for watching. As you know, our TV crowd doubled and tripled in size too. Matter of fact, I'd have some of my friends, all my great friends, they'd go, "Hey, good service today. We watch you guys." But during it, you could watch your church, you can watch us, and so many people watched us at wccowboychurch.org, or you get on Facebook and you'll figure out how to watch us there as well. So, amen. We appreciate some of my ministry friends that are here. Have several ministers that are here, and I just honored to have all of you that are here just to be a part of us. Amen. All right, let's jump right into a message because I want to get it over pretty quick. Last week, just to catch you up, I started talking about, and I call them nuggets. If you've been watching us online, I've been calling them nuggets. How are we going to live in these last days? Because I believe that we're in the last of the last days. Amen. I mean, you don't have to be a theologian to know that, man, prophetically that the Bible talks about, and even in the book of Isaiah, is coming to pass over and over and over. You're just seeing things happen. Then when you have a virus in 2020, really started in 2019, man, in a country that got shut down, people that was so in fear not to even go to a church, but yet church is where refuge is. That's where there should not be any kind of a fear of virus. Why? Well, because the Bible says by faith you can believe that nothing shall come near your body, no disease, no sickness, and those kind of things. Now, that's not to say that we don't use wisdom, because we need to use some wisdom in a lot of areas. And so I'm not against a lot of the things that happened, but I do think it was a travesty to see a country shut down and an economy go to put. Matter of fact, most ministers need to understand that we are in a battle like never before. Ronnie Christian, that's here, is really spearheading some things that we're trying to do in a legislative way to make sure that churches who should always be essential are not controlled by anyone, including the government. Because that's the scheme of the devil, is he's trying to shut down the church, where the church can't be who we're called to be, which teaches against fear, and we teach the opposite of it, which is faith. We don't get into those kind of things. So the Lord began to have me bring up nuggets like getting into prayer. I even taught on repentance. You don't hear that any longer. Just saying, "God, forgive me." And when you say forgive me, you turn from that thing and you go the opposite way. I didn't say we would be perfect, but there's things that we need to say, "God, I want to change in my life." Even Corey Ross, "I need to change." And so then I talked about sin. You don't hear about sin much either, because we've said, "No, that part of my life I don't want to deal with. And God, I don't want you to deal with it either, please." But really, that's what could be stopping the blessing of God from coming in our lives. And so God began to one at a time give me nuggets. Well, last week, he said, "You know what? What we desperately need in these last days is protection." And so I went over Psalms 91 just to catch some of you guys up that wasn't here or didn't hear it. Psalms 91 says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And we just begin to deal with some different things about protection. He that dwells, that word dwell nearly means camping out, sitting down, residing. And then it talks about a secret place. He that dwells in the secret place, which is, it's your own place. It's your own. That's the place where no one else can get to. It's your place, the secret place. No interruptions. Refuge, the secret place. That word refuge, literally, and fortress, because it goes on to say, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He's our refuge and our fortress. And I just begin to look those kind of things up, because that literally means safety places. We need safety. We need the peace. We need the joy. That's where that safety is. You're in refuge. You're in a fortress place. I need safety, see. That's a place of provision. That's a place where we literally can trust God. And so I looked at that camera last week and I said, all of you people that are still in your homes, because there was a lot of even our church that they camped out for 3 months and never showed up. I said, it's time to get out of fear, and get to living. Amen. It's time to get our country going and get our economy back up. And that virus, you need to begin to speak to it that it's dead in Jesus' mighty name, because the Bible says at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. And I'm telling you, that virus is a devil, because it steals, John 10:10, kills and destroys. A virus is not good for you. And so then we went over to Jeremiah 29. If you have a Bible, just flip over there, Jeremiah 29. Verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. So God's saying this to us. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And here's something. Thoughts of peace. You and I desperately need peace in our lives. You try to rodeo out there, you better have peace in your life, or you're going to be mad all the time. Roper should have said, you got that right, brother. But look what the next part says, and not of evil. So in other words, everything that's good comes from God. Everything that's bad comes from the devil. A virus is not good. Will y'all agree with that? Something that destroyed our country's economy, that shut us all down and have people wearing masks, even at church services, is not of God. It is of the devil, and we need to understand that God is trying to tell you and I today that I've given you thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So in other words, God knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And your ending place is a good place. Thank God for heaven, because we know the end for a Christian that has Jesus as the Lord of their life. Our ending place is heaven, but listen to me. You can't think and have in your mind that I can't wait to get there so that all the bad things that are here are finally away from me. No, you need to be knowing that you can have heaven here, because that's what Jesus taught all of us when he declared, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? Here, like there. So we got to start living here like there. Then it goes on to say, then shall you call upon me when you go pray unto me, and I will hear you. So when you call him, he's going to hear you. We ought to thank God for that, that he's not so far up there that we have to scream and hope to God he hears us. No, the Bible says when we call him, he hears us. It says, when you pray to me, I will hearken unto you. Verse 13 says, and when you seek me, you're going to find me. When you shall search for me with all your heart. So when we go to God and we're seeking him, we're doing it from our heart. We're saying, God, I need your help in this situation, whatever it is. It may be a mountain in someone's life. The mountain of divorce, the mountain of sickness and disease, the mountain of debt and so on. But God is trying to tell you and I that we can speak to that mountain and command that mountain to be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you say. So here God's trying to tell all of us that if you'll seek me, you're going to find me, and I'm going to hear you, God says. Verse 14 says, and I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I'll turn away your captivity. I like this part. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I'll bring you again into the place where I cause you to be carried away captive. In other words, anything that's holding you captive, if it's some addiction, if it's this or that, maybe it's just simple thing called anger. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's all the things that this stinking virus has caused in people's lives. God's saying this morning that, hey, I'll take that away from you, the things that are holding you captive. I'll just snatch it on up and get it out of your life. I'll deliver you from those kind of things. You go into Psalms 91 and you start finding out God will deliver you from all these plagues and all the things that are going on in people's lives. Okay, here's something that I want you to go to, though, and I'm going to camp out for about 2 minutes, and then we're going to close. in Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17. Here's what it says. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Say that with me. No weapon that's formed against me. Say it again after me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Well, what are the weapons that are trying to destroy you and I? Because what are we talking about this morning? We need protection in these last days. We need to know that we don't have to die of COVID-19. We need to know that we don't have to die of depression. We don't have to die of suicide. We don't have to think that life is so bad that we're going to choose to give up. No, we're not quitters as God's kids. We're believers and not doubters. We're the head and not the tail. We can speak the word of God that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm not a loser. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, that's how you and I have to believe. But there's always weapons that are trying to stop you and I from having the victories in our lives. And I say today, it's time to stop that by speaking the word of God and declaring, no weapon formed against me will prosper. But what again are the weapons? Depression's one of them, I wrote. Despair is one of them. Divorce is one of them. Loneliness, debt, division, anger. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. And God is saying this morning that whatever the weapon is that's trying to destroy your life, God's saying, if you'll just believe and start living by His kingdom principles, then you can say to that weapon or to that mountain again, that it's not going to come near you. No weapon that is formed. The devil is constantly trying to form things against you and I. But here God's trying to say that these things are that the enemy is trying to form against you, all the fiery darts of that wicked one that is trying to penetrate your spirit, man. I know it goes through the, you know, we live in threes, right? Do you know this? We are a spirit. What gets born again is your spirit, man. But then the spirit lives in a body, spirit that has a soul. That's why the Bible says that we're spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit gets born again. It has a soul. What's the soul? Mind, will, emotions, that lives in a flesh. We live in, that's why the Bible calls this the temple. So we got to take care of our temple, right? Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Okay? What does the devil usually attack first? The body. Because if he attacks the body, then it goes to the soul, and our minds just run away. Ooh, it gets bad. As a roper, you know, things happen out there. The best in the world, they'll tell you, you got to have a short memory, right? Because the mind is constantly battling. I hope I don't do this. I hope I don't knock down a barrel. I hope I don't get injured in the bull riding. I hope I don't split the horns. I hope. And all we're doing then is and it's a battlefield, I'm telling you. And it's got, the devil is no respecter of persons. He does it to all. No one is exempt from the enemy's attacks in your mind. Okay, so your spirit man is born again, then your soul needs to be in line with the Word of God. That's why the Bible says to get this Bible on the inside of you, meditate on it day and night. Because if it gets in your mind, then when the enemy tries to bring something against you, man, you can go to the Word of God and say, oh, I don't believe that. That's what happened to me with Crohn's disease so many years ago when me and Trey Johnson was traveling together. Sick boy right here. Took out 16 inches of intestine, a little bit of the colon, and they said I had a disease called Crohn's. The doctor said it. I said back to him, no, sir, I don't receive that. He thought I was crazy. He said, son, you don't understand. Most of y'all know this story. You have a disease called Crohn's. He said, it's not curable, but it's manageable. I said, no, sir, mm-mm. Came back in my room one time, my mom and dad was there. He said, I don't know if you understood, son. You got a disease called Crohn's. We can manage it with medicine. You'll have to take it for the rest of your life. And he literally said to me, you probably wouldn't be able to ride horses anymore. And I said, I don't receive that. And as most of y'all know, I've never taken one pill in all these years. Why? Well, because I've decided that God protects me. And I'm going to live by his ways of doing things. Now, if I get out of that, that's when there's an attack. And it's anybody, it can happen to anyone. But if I believe this Bible, which is what? The truth. Remember, the Bible says that the truth will make you free. I believe this Bible that by his stripes I was healed. Therefore, and I said it over and over, Father, I don't receive Crohn's. Where most people go, you know, my cancer, my diabetes, my, well, you need to quit saying that because it's not yours. Jesus died for that. So I never once took possession of Crohn's disease. That's why I was healed in Jesus' name. But if God did it for me, he's got to do it for you, because he's no respecter of persons. He don't like me as a preacher more than he does you. You're still the creation of God. You're made in the image of him. You're made in his likeness. Well, yeah, but I haven't been the best person in my life. Who cares? That's how the devil wants you to think. But you're more than a conqueror through Christ, because he loves you. Well, but lightning might strike if I ever go to the church. God didn't, I've done some bad things. Yeah, but that's just the enemy trying to convince you of a weapon that he's trying to form to get you to thinking badly about yourself, when God's saying, I don't remember that. Okay, so what we need to do today is we need to start confessing the weapons that the enemy is trying to drive against us. They will not prosper in our lives. And we're going to have victory in our lives. So today is the day of victory. Would you say amen? No matter what it is. And then when bad things happen, you know what you do? You forget those things that are behind you. I'm going to forget I missed the first one yesterday. I'm going to forget I broke the barrier on the second one. I'm just saying this is an example. I'm not trying to hash it back out in my mind. I'm forgetting about that. And so today's a new day. Right? That's what Ben told me. Hey, tomorrow's a new day, brother. Remember? I said, thank you, brother. He don't know that I needed that right at that particular time. Today is a new day. So Ropers, let's go do it. And let's have fun doing it. People that are going to be in the concession stand, let's do it because we're hungry. But no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen? All right. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing again here. But as you know, I would never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive you. So, Father, if there's one person at the sound of my voice watching or here in this congregation that does not know you as Lord, I ask you to draw their heart to you right now. I can't do it, sir, but you can. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you do not know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. Today, I want you to choose heaven. The only way to choose heaven is receiving the way of escaping heaven, and his name is Jesus. Not a church, not a denomination, Jesus. The Bible says in John 14 that he is the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is through him. So at this church, Jesus is the foundation of our lives. I know in your life he is as well. So if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to pray a prayer with me right now. And you're going to find out that you're not going to pray it by yourself. I'm going to have everybody in here that is born again pray it with you. We won't know who you are, possibly. I'm just saying, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now by asking him to come in. I'll lead you in the prayer. You pray it after me. But here's the deal. I want you to pray it out loud and mean what we pray. You believe it. And Jesus will come in, and he'll be the Lord of your life. And then you start learning the Bible, one scripture at a time, finding out who you are in Christ Jesus. So again, if you're here this morning, and you don't know if you died, if you'd go to heaven or hell, I ask you, please, to choose heaven by choosing Jesus and pray this prayer with me right now. You ready? All the believers, again, would you pray it as well? Out of our mouth, let's pray it. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Be my friend. Be my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of sins in my life because I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast. Don't ever be ashamed that Jesus became the Lord of your life. I don't care how old someone is. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, you're my brother or sister in Christ. We're family then. Don't ever be ashamed, because Jesus was not ashamed to die on a cross for you. So if you just gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, all I want you to do is be bold enough to raise your hand and say, I just received Jesus. I prayed that prayer, and then just put your hand right back down. I will not ask you to come to the front. I will not embarrass you. I want you just to be bold enough to say, I just gave my life to Jesus. If that's you, when I say three, get it up. Ready? One, with every bit of boldness, please, in Jesus' name. Two, three, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thanks, brother. Really appreciate it. Honored. Honored to call you my brother, you my sister. Amen. All right, look at me. I just want y'all to know right now that that was one of the quickest messages I've ever preached. And all my friends are like, he's right. Definitely right. Hey, you see this flag right here? Today is Flag Day. It is an honor to be a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I also think it's a very, I shouldn't say ironic, I think, I'm telling you, it's more of a God thing than you know, that our president, his birthday is on this Flag Day. And so I just say happy birthday to the President Trump. And ooh, Jesus, he's under a whole lot of stuff right now, and I believe God picked the right one to lead our country in this time, regardless of how he does things. I think our country needed to be shaken up, and it has been, I'm telling you. He's the one that says what we all think not to say. But we need someone that says what they feel, and he pays for it later. Amen. But it is what it is, and so I'm honored. Ropers, thank y'all so much. The concession stand will be open. We're going to get out there, and they already left to draw. And my guys have already got the arena watered, I pray. I'm going to go out, and we're going to start right sharply at 1 o'clock. All you guys that can help, please, in the arena, if you have been helping, please don't give up on us, because it makes it go a lot longer. And we've got two go-arounds and a progressive round of 18. The top 18 on the forehead will rope, and we're just going to spit it out. Amen? So let's get out there. Stand to your feet, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just, again, a great time in your presence. We need you in our lives, in all areas. We need your protection. So in these days that we're living in, we're going to live by your protection. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Matter of fact, the scripture goes on to say, Lord, that everyone that rises up against us in judgment, you would condemn. So we don't have to do it. You do it, sir. Thank you. Thank you for protecting all the contestants, their horses, our livestock today. We just thank you, Lord, for just a wonderful, glorious time, and again, energy for all the people that have worked so hard this weekend to put on this event. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.